We can trust him. Amen. We can trust him.
Yes.
How many of you believe that?
Yes.
Well, this year we'll find out, won't we? Today, we're having a dedication service, and we're not dedicating children, as our custom would normally be to dedicate children. Today, we're dedicating a congregation. Last week, we declared that together as a house, we can trust him. 2024 is a fantastic year, great opportunity. It's the only year we have in front of us. The rest is behind us. Amen. The rest is history now. As the old song goes, the road before me, the past behind me. No turning back, no turning back. Or as the Germans say, die Mauer zurück. I first learnt that in German. Then I discovered it was English. We can trust him.
Amen.
Why? He is our God.
Amen.
He's our King.
Amen.
He's our Saviour. He's our Lord. And this morning I want to talk to you, to give you another reason why you can trust him, because he's our great shepherd.
Yes.
He's our shepherd.
Yes, he is.
So why don't we just corporately declare together, as for me, and my house, we will serve the Lord.
We can trust him.
Amen. We can trust him. If we're going to trust him, we can trust him from three dominant positions. In Acts 17:28, I remember when I was a young wee boy, I'm going back now, and we used to be in our youth group, and we used to be in the minibus going towards our camps, and we used to sing this song, "In him we live and move and have our being." Didn't have a clue what it meant at that time. But it was just a catchy tune. In him we live and move. Yeah. That was my first taste of being charismatic without me realizing it. In him we live, move, and have our being. So I guess if we're going to trust him, we're going to trust him by living in him. First of all, you've got to live. To live means you've got to be active. You've got to be active. You live from the position of you and I being in Christ. In Christ is where we live. If you see yourself outside of Christ, that's your problem. You have to see yourself inside. You have to see that you're part of Christ and Christ is part of you. You're a brand new creation. So now you live from that position of being inside of him. You know, the royal family. The royal family live from that position that they're royals. They know who they are. Even though they may live outside, or they might live in Canada or America or wherever it is the Harry's moved to, he knows he's still a royal. And he lives from that position. Now, he may not get all the full rights now, but he still knows fundamentally who he is. He's chose to live outside. But he knows inside on his own, he knows where he's connected to. That's why, I mean, the paparazzi remind him every day. If it was no one of interest, they wouldn't follow him. Just because you haven't got the paparazzi following you around, thank goodness, you still are part of Jesus. Amen?
Amen?
So we live from within him. And we move. Our movements have to be coordinated by him. Our movements have to be coordinated by him. In other words, that means your choices and your decisions have to be coordinated so that they sync and line up with him. Because we live in him, we move, and we have our being. And if you're going to have your being, then he's got to have your spirit and your mind. Your mind is so important. Every day someone's got a piece of your mind. How many times have we said, "Let me give you a piece of my mind"? Yeah, we're very quick to give people our peace of mind, but your mind is yours. Don't ever give it to somebody else. And if someone says, "Just clear your mind, think of nothing," no. Always have something in your mind. Don't empty your mind, because someone will put something in there that doesn't belong in there. It's your mind, you must guard it. And your spirit, don't let things enter your heart. It's your heart, your mind, you've got to control it, you've got to give focus to it. So to trust, can you put the next slide on for me, please? To trust means, have you got it there, Zay? God, I don't know if you can see that, can you? All right, I'll read it out to you anyway. Trust means you have a firm belief in the reliability of truth or in the ability of someone or in something. Let me say it again so your eyes can't see that. Better with or better without? Let me just read it for you. Better with or better without? Well, I didn't realize I'd made it so slow, actually. Small. For trust means you have a firm belief. Do you have a belief this morning?
Yes.
Is your belief reliable? Yes. Mine is. My firm belief is reliable because it's in truth. And my truth has ability in someone and in something. I have my faith and my trust is in Christ and in his kingdom. Amen? I have this reliability. And God wants you and I to have this reliability in truth. People will say, I don't want to believe that rubbish about the Bible. You don't want to believe that. Fine, you say, no, this isn't rubbish. This is faith in someone. This is faith in something that is I can substantiate. I see the evidence in my life. I see the evidence around me. Yeah? You're going to have to put your trust in something this year. And you're going to have to put your trust in someone. You may put it in your money. You may put it in your job. You may put it in your career. And all of a sudden that goes upside down. You may put it in the economy. You may put it in the government. And all of a sudden things go turn upside down. And then you're left exposed. You've got to put your trust somewhere and in someone. You have to. And the psalmist tells us some trust in horses. Some trust in chariots, but we trust in the name of the Lord our God. Some trust in gold, some trust in money, some trust in football, some trust in nothing at all. But we, different from them, put our trust. Now, why did he put his trust? Why do some put their trust in horses and chariots? I told you that last week. The reason why is because in that time, horses and chariots were the technology of the day. Any king wanting to besiege another king knew he needed more horses, more chariots than the army he was invading. So the stronger your chariots, the greater your ability to win a battle. So whatever you put your trust in, it's not good enough. Why? Because compare them to we trust in the name of our God. This is the hardest thing for man to realize, to put his trust in something he doesn't see. But he's got to put his trust in someone he knows, not something he sees. Horses and chariots are things you can see, but putting your faith in Christ alone, you can't see him, but you've just got to know from the inside. In him I live, I move, and I have my being. And this is the walk of faith. Every man and every woman in this room is going to be tried right there. You're going to be tried right there. In the morning, when you don't see him, but you know there's something, there's a force in front of you that's going to challenge you, who you're going to put your faith in. Are you going to put your faith in your own fear? Or are you going to put your faith in Christ? You've got to put your faith somewhere. Somewhere. Or it's someone. When I say somewhere, I mean someone. You can trust God with your life. Jesus did, you did, and you can, I should say. Why? He tells us that he's the same today, yesterday, and forevermore. That means he is not up and down. He's not emotional. He's not, you know, some people, you don't know what you're going to get with them. They're different. You never know what mood they're going to be in. But he is the same today, yesterday, and forevermore. He's approachable. And I need someone like that in my life. I don't know about you. I don't want... There's nothing worse when you go into work and you think, oh, go and ask him. Go and ask the boss. No, he's in a good mood. He's in a good mood. I don't know if he's in a good mood. Go on, you go and ask him. You go and ask him. Nobody wants to be around people who's up and down. But we need people who is pretty much level-headed. Go in your Bibles to 2 Kings chapter 6. I want to show you the principle of putting trust into action. And if you're wise, you'll glean from this text of Scripture. And this is the prophet Elisha. Two Kings chapter 6. Now the king of Aram was at war. I'm going to read it through and I'm going to break it down for you. Because I'm on a mission to finish. The clock is set. Now the king of Aram was at war with Israel. After conferring with his officials, he said, I will set up the camp in such and such a place. Can't be vague. I think that place was called Vague. 2 Kings 6, 8. The man of God sent the word to the king of Israel. Beware of passing that place because the Arameans are going down there. So the king of Israel checked on the place indicated by the man of God. Time and again, Elisha warned the king so that he was on his guard in such a place. This enraged the king of Aram. He summoned his officers and demanded of them, will you not tell me which of us is on the side of the king of Israel? None of us, my lord, the king, said one of his officers. But Elisha the prophet, who is in Israel, tells the king of Israel the very words you speak in your bedroom. Wow. So when you think no one's listening, God can hear and can reveal it to the prophet. Pick up verse 13. Go and find out where he is, the king ordered, so I can send men to capture him. The report came back. He's in Dotham. Then he sent, watch, horses and chariots. And a strong force there. Why? Because his hope and his trust is in horses and chariots. He thinks they're going to bring about the result he desires, but they won't. Then they went by night and surrounded the city. When the servant of the man of God got up and went out early the next morning, an army with horses and chariots surrounded the city. And then he gives the OMG. Oh my Lord. What do we do? The servant asked. Elijah said, don't be afraid. The prophet answered, those who are with us are more than those who are with them. Now he can't see this at the moment. The prophet can, but his young guy can't. And Elisha prayed, oh Lord, open his eyes so we may see, paraphrasing what I already knows there. Then the Lord opened the servant's eyes and he looked and saw the hills full of horses and chariots of fire all around Elisha. There was a greater force surrounding them than the one who was in front of them. Amen. Verse 18, as the enemy came down towards him, Elisha prayed to the Lord, strike these people with blindness. So he struck them with blindness on Elisha, as Elisha asked. Verse 19, Elisha told him, this is not the road and this is not the city. Follow me and I'll lead you to the man you are looking for. And he led him to Samaria. After they entered the city, Elijah said, Lord, open the eyes of these men so that they can see. And the Lord opened their eyes and they looked and there they were in Samaria. And when the king of Israel saw them, he asked Elisha, shall we kill them, my father? Shall we kill them? Don't kill them. Settle down. Wind your neck in, he answered. Would you kill men you have captured with your own sword or bow? Set food and water before them so that they may eat and drink and then go back to their master. So we prepared a great feast for them. And after that, they finished eating and drinking. He sent them on their way and they returned to their master. And so the bands from the Aram stopped raiding Israel's territory. There's a lot going on in that story. Fear is in the heart of one, Elisha's young servant. They're surrounded. You may potentially this year be surrounded by external forces that gather to conspire against you, and these are the horses and chariots that come against our life. People put their trust in their power over you, Their ability to manipulate, their ability to persuade, their ability to devalue you. People have always got an agenda. And this year people will conspire in various ways because they might not like who you are, how you do things, or even how you look. They may not like the way you speak, the colour of your skin, but you know what? Those who are with you are greater than those who are against you, if you walk with the right one. You can't just say, those, you know, there's a greater force with me when I do what I want. No, no, no. You have to walk in a certain way. You have to walk in a certain way for God to protect you and do those things. Now, I'm going to highlight some this text here. Trust allows you to speak. Trust gives you a language that you wouldn't ordinarily have when you need it. Trust develops a language in you that you don't normally speak. That's why you need to trust. Oh yeah. When you're facing giants in life and you trust, you listen to what comes out of your mouth. Either fear comes out or faith comes out. Either one is a language. And each one of those, each that language either feeds the atmosphere or starves the oxygen out of it. So you need a language, a specific language to stand in the midst of your trials and your situations. Because if you keep speaking negativity, guess what? That the atmosphere feeds off your fear and your doubt. So it allows you to speak over prevailing forces, over fear. How many of you know you need a language to speak over fear?
Yeah.
Hello? You all awake this morning?
Yes.
Fear speaks. Oh, no, 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 no. Oh, my God, oh, my God, oh, my God. I can't believe it. That's fear. It's never going to happen. I can't do it. That's fear. We all know the language of fear. But when fear comes, there's got to be a different language to counteract it. What about opinion? Everyone's got opinion. It's like a nose on your face. Everyone's got one. When you're surrounded by other people's opinions and you feel it's a force growing that you feel that you've either, you can't push back or you can't go against the opinion, but you've got to find a way of rising above the opinions of people that don't fit with your agenda, with your thinking, with your truth. You have to find a way of a language to overcome fear, a language to overcome opinions, and a language to overcome confusion. You've got to be able to speak to your own heart and mind and bring sanity back where there's confusion. Some of you may be in a tunnel right now where you're confused. You can't see. It doesn't matter. You can walk by faith. You close your eyes, you go to sleep, it's dark. You're safe when you're asleep. You don't think about the dark. Darkness does not have to be your enemy. The Bible tells us in the Psalms, God surrounds himself by the darkness. God isn't afraid of the dark. There's no bogeyman there. The only bogeyman that's in the dark is the one that lives inside of you, in your head. You need a language. Though you can face all kinds of things this year, you need to take the one who's light with you into your darkness. Some of you will get upturned upside down this year. I'm not prophesying doom, I'm just being a realist. It ain't all swings and roundabouts, is it? It isn't all, you know, sweet and candy. You know, our life isn't like that. It's not popcorn and candy. It's tough. It's tough. And you need, and I need a language. So we need a language to overcome. And in this story, the prophet Elijah overcame the opinions, he overcome the fear, and he overcome the confusion that was in the midst. The next thing, trust enables you to feed your encouragement. Who's going to feed you? Who's going to encourage you? Is it somebody else's job to always encourage you? David, it says in the Bible, David encouraged himself in the Lord. Yeah. There are some days when I stand in my office and it just seems so hopeless. But then I have to encourage myself. I give my head a wobble. I tell myself, sort yourself out, Tony. Go for a walk. Have a word with yourself. And I do. I go for a walk. I have a word with myself. I do some self-talking. I talk myself. I talk the nonsense out of me and talk sense into me. Why? I have to encourage me. Because I don't know about you, but I'm crazy on my own. I can believe my own opinions. I can believe my own reports. And I can believe my own perceptions. And only you can get inside your head and knock it out. So in the morning, give your head a wobble. Talk some sense to yourself and wind your neck in and say, you know what, I know, we know, all of us, me, myself and I, we know that we're talking rubbish in here today. But your feelings say, no, 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 stick with it, stick with it. No, your head's got to get into the game. And you've got to say, shut up, silence the doubt inside your head. Yeah? Verse 10, go to verse 10 of that scripture. So the king of Israel checked on the places indicated by the man of God. Time and again, Elisha warned the king. Time again, God will speak to you about a situation. Time again, you'll hear it from the pulpit. Time again, you'll hear it from others around you. Time and again, encouragement will come to you from within and from without. God is committed to time and again. That's how you know you can trust him. Time and again. Trust produces certainty. Trust will eventually lead you to certainty. Verse 12. None of us, my lord, the king, said one of his officers, but Elisha the prophet who is in Israel tells the king of Israel the very words you speak in your bedroom. Certainty, all of us need a measure of certainty in our life. All of us. Because certainty gives us a sense of routine. And we need a sense of routine. Routine is not the same as a rut. When your routine doesn't serve a higher purpose, it becomes a rut. And a rut eventually becomes a grave. The king was protected. God gave Elisha certainty in his spirit of what was being proclaimed in a bedroom. In the morning, Phil says to me last night, what are you preaching on? I says, have you got a plan? I said, I've always got a plan. My plan is sometimes I'll make it up as I go along. No, and that's never my plan. My plan comes from, listen, my plan is very simple. My plan comes from my preparation. I don't stand up here and walk and work just by the seam of my pants. I have a plan. Yeah? And so my certainty comes from my plan. And then I also need some faith that God will come through. He says, you prepare, Tony, and I'll take over. You need a plan for your life. You need some element of certainty. Now, don't plan your life in such a way that there is no room for anyone or anything else to speak into it. Yeah? I come before you with a plan. It gives me an element of certainty, but I'm not rigid. Time and time again, I've come before you and God says, don't want you to talk about that. Talk about this. Now, you can only do that when you've been doing it for a while, because I trust God to speak to me, and I know that if I stay with what I've got, it'll flounder. But if I go with what he's saying, it's fine. I'm okay with that. I'm okay with that at times. So we see, trust doesn't fear. Trust doesn't fear. It doesn't fear what? It doesn't fear the sound of horses and chariots approaching. I tell you by the Spirit of God this morning that horses and chariots are racing towards you. But trust says there's a force greater over my life. I don't care who. I know that if I walk righteously and you walk righteously, it will attract interest from God and from the enemy. I expect him to be on my case. Why am I surprised when he's having a go at me? My job and your job is to give him no room. That's our role. Keep. Jesus says, follow me. Follow me. And don't stop doing that. If you follow me, you'll be okay, son. The moment when you get distracted and turn around, and you, the moment you turn around and look behind, guess what? I'm still walking forward, you're not following. And it's always when we turn around to the past, we're in trouble. Yeah. The past has nothing for you anymore. It's gone, it's been spent, it's currency used, you can't go back. You can only learn from it. So it has value in that sense. Great value. But the past always wants to keep you there as a prisoner. And the truth is, in our past, there's good and there's bad and there's the ugly. There's mad, there's sad, there's good, then there's bad. Yeah? But you see, lack of trust will steal the truth that's inside of you. It will steal the truth that's inside of you. Go to verse 15. Listen to what this guy said. The confession of him in verse 15 was, when the servant of the man of God got up and went out early next morning, an army of horses and chariots surrounded him. Oh my Lord, what shall we do? That's fear and panic. That's not trust, is it? How many of you have said, oh my God? Oh my Lord. Oh my Lord. Trust will zap up any kind of fear, but fear will replace your trust if you allow it to. It steals knowledge and it steals truth. See, Elisha, was cool at that moment. He didn't panic. Why? Because he trusted. He said, Lord, open his eyes to let him see what I already know is there. That's trust. That's trust. Well, they're making all my office redundant next month. What are we going to do? We don't have enough money to pay our mortgage. They'll kick us out. The company's relocating. I'm not sure we're going to get a job. Lord, open his eyes. Let him see that you can give favor to one person in that place. And I can stand there because I've done it. I've seen God do that for me. When they made a whole bunch of people redundant in our company. And I not only did I got my job, I got upgraded and got a better salary. I got 15 grand extra. Sadness is walking out the door, but goodness and mercy was leading me on. And I know many of you have seen. Dave could tell the story, Phil could tell the story, Andy could tell the story. Same thing, where God has stood for righteous men when all things are going on around him and the horses and chariots are coming up against us. But yet God says, you won't touch this one.
Amen.
No weapon formed against him shall prosper or shall stand. Why? Because this one is my righteous one. You've got to be able to walk with trust. Trust God for whatever you're going through this year. Whatever's coming against you, whatever happens with your kids. And how many times have we said, I don't mind the enemy coming against me, but you can't do it to my babies. No, you're all one family. You've got to stand as one family. There isn't you and then your kids. There's just you as a family. Amen?
Amen.
Trust supplies peace. And it overrides understanding. Trust gives you peace. It sows the seed of peace. And it overrides natural understanding. Verse 16. He says, don't be afraid. The prophet answered. Why would you say don't be afraid when there's every reason to be afraid? That's the reason not to be afraid. Because at that point, you'll feed your fear to a force that causes it to grow in strength. If the enemy sees you and he sees that you're not no fear, he's got no hold on you. You will only feed the force that's coming against you if you give it fear and trust and doubt. You've got to feed that moment with something different. Are you with me?
Yes.
I got a feeling, though, some of us are going to try this out. We're going to have to play this out this year. Just got a sneaky feeling that we're going to, it even might be this afternoon, it might be tomorrow. At some point, you're going to have to, you're going to be stood there going, oh no, I remember what Pastor Tony was saying. This is that moment. Yes, this is that moment. To be prepared is to be armed. Yeah? Trust supplies peace and it overrides understanding. Don't be afraid, the prophet said. What do you mean don't be afraid? Have you seen the size of those chariots out there? Yeah, but have you seen the size of the chariots around them? Trust opens your eyes to see what others can't see. Trust opens your eyes to see what others can't see. I love that. Elisha told him, Lord, open his eyes. Lord, this boy's freaking out here. This boy's freaking out, and he's going to go to the toilet in a minute, and there's none around here. So, Lord, open his eyes for goodness sake. Spare us the mistake. God opens his eyes, and when he sees, if you could only see what God sees, if you and I could only see what God sees for us, God says, what are my kids doing down there, panicking, like they've never been told anything? He said, trust me. Trust and obey, for there's no other way. Yeah? And then, this is what I like in verse 19. Trust shows you a path when you couldn't see another way out. Trust shows you. In verse 19, watch this, because there are some paths. I want you to see the difference here. It's not just any path. There's a way that you should not go, and there's a way you should go. In this particular instance, Elisha said, there's a path there, but that's not the way. Now, this year, paths are going to open up before you. And you, if you don't trust God, you're going to follow the crowd. The crowd are on the wrong path. Why? Broad is the pathway that leads to where? It leads somewhere, and it's called destruction. But narrow is the path that leads to life. The tendency is to follow the path of the majority. There is a path. You must know. Write this down. Write this down. You must know by the Spirit. You must know by the Spirit what is the right path. You must know. You must know. Trust protects you when you should have been wiped out. Well, let's go back to that verse. Let me come back to that verse. Where's it going now? Yeah. He told him, this is not the road. Verse 19, Elisha said, this is not the road and this is not the city. This is not the road. This is not the city. Follow me and I'll lead you to the man you are looking for. There's a way that seems right to men. And Elijah went, we're not going that way. This is the way. Follow me. Trust finds a way. And it's not on, the majority's not taking it there. Because the majority are not trusting in the same person you're trusting in. And then, trust protects you when you should have been wiped out. Trust will protect you when you should have been wiped out. The times I should have been wiped out. I should have been gone. I should have been dead. I should have been out the race. Trust has kept me alive today. Trust in God. Hey, I don't stand here as one who purports to have all this thing in the bag. There's plenty of OMGs in my life. Moments. But I know one thing. I haven't got this far without trust. And I know the next thing I know, I will not continue my journey without continuing to trust. So the Lord is a refuge for the oppressed, the Bible tells us, a stronghold in times of trouble. Those who know your name will trust in you. But for you, O Lord, have not forsaken those who seek you. That's Psalm 9, verse 9. Man does not live by bread alone. What does that mean? Man shall not live by bread alone. Jesus, when he was taken into the desert, had fasted and was tempted by the enemy. At a part of his humanity which would be subject to exposure, which is hunger. And he says to him, Satan comes to him and says, you know, if you are the Son of God, blah, 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 then the same old nonsense. If you are the Son of God, turn these into bread. Turn these rocks into bread and feed yourself. And he says, turn away, it is written. Now, Jesus was focusing us into the Word. What has been written for our benefit. So the answer to trust is in the Word. Trust comes from the Word. There is a virtual scripture for every situation you will always come through. But it's not just words, it's a person. It's a person. See, if my mother and father wrote me a letter and then they passed away, And I read that letter 20 years ago. I'm not just reading a letter. I'm remembering the person who wrote that letter. I'm remembering, I'm attaching the words with the person. That person has intrinsic value. And their words have intrinsic value because it came from the person I know and love. So when God writes the scriptures for us, he wants you to not just read his words and separate him. He wants you to see that it's me speaking to you. This is a living word. I'm still alive. Though you don't see me, trust comes from internally. In me, says Tony, you must live, you must move, and have your being. So when I refer you back to my word, we're still alive. The word's alive. I want you to see that there's something else that you can trust and rely on other than the material, physical world. And his bread. My bread is living word. There's natural bread that feeds you and you'll need it again tomorrow. But there's a word that lifts you higher. That's the bread of the word. Now, interestingly enough, when you follow this theme of bread, so you read it in Matthew 4, 1, and then you first, Jesus was quoting Deuteronomy chapter 8, verse 3. When he said man does not live by bread alone, he says he humbled you in Deuteronomy 8, 3. He humbled you, causing you, speaking of Israel, he humbled you, watch, causing you to hunger, and then feeding you with manna. So he humbled you, and he caused you to hunger, and then he fed you with manna, which neither you nor your fathers had known, and he did this to teach you that man does not live by bread alone, but by every word that comes from the mouth of the Lord. They'd never seen bread. They couldn't get bread in the desert. And he said, you're going to have to live by what I speak. And if you live by what I speak, I'll provide it for you en route. But you've got to trust me and trust in what I say to you. Yes. Now, he's using Israel as the lesson. So when Jesus comes along in the New Testament, Jesus can refer back to what his Father had already spoken. I'm in the wilderness. They were in the wilderness. You might be in the wilderness this year. I might be in the wilderness this year. But there has to be someone or something in the wilderness I can trust and refer to. So he's saying, look, Israel struggled to trust me. But every day I provided manna for them. Why? It was always there. And they were marveled. And why did he say, you can only collect it daily? Why? Because he did not want them to move their focus from trusting him. Every day God will speak. Every day God will speak. And from what he speaks, he feeds you. I'm not saying don't eat natural food. That's not what I'm saying. I'm saying there is a voice that wants to speak to you and I daily that will confirm and cause your trust to stay resolute. And Jesus used these two. So the New Testament and the Old Testament twin this theme of bread. Bread is a symbol of trust. It's so easy to trust in the natural things that have to be replaced. But there's a word that can keep you in season. Amen. The word that God speaks from heaven to you lasts longer than natural bread. It's eternal. It's fresh. Yes? And though you receive it, you can keep on eating it and feed yourself every day. And it encourages you. And it opens your eyes to see there is forces for me far greater than those who were against me. Yeah. Yeah. Greater is he that is in me than he that is in the world. So the issue is, what bread will you use? Will you feed yourself on this year? Will you have a nice sourdough? A nice crusty loaf? Or will you have wholemeal? Or whatever your chosen poison is? Or will you live on God's word? The answer is both. I can live on both. I need bread for natural sustenance. I need spiritual bread for spiritual sustenance. True? Yeah. So, let's go to Psalm 23. Oh, I know you know this scripture. And this is where we see the great shepherd. And I'm realizing my time's coming, so I'm really trying to get to the end. We're going to do it with God's grace. The Lord is? Whose shepherd is he?
My.
Are you sure?
Yeah.
Did he say the Lord is our shepherd?
No, my shepherd.
Well, why? Why is he my shepherd? Because the one who's reading it is personal to the one reading it. The Lord isn't our shepherd, he's my shepherd. He is our shepherd, but when you read it on your own, he's your shepherd.
Yeah.
That's why we can trust him.
Yes.
The Lord is my shepherd. And I'm reading from the Amplified version here, so if it doesn't say it quite the same as yours, it means you've all got the wrong version and I've only got the right one. No, it doesn't mean that. It means I'm just reading from a different version because I like the way it laid it out. And in the Amplified version, it says, the Lord is my shepherd, and then brackets, to feed, to guide, and to shield me. Right? I shall not... Sorry, I can't hear you.
Want.
What? Sorry, what did he say? I shall not...
Want.
I shall not want. But I do have wants, needs, lack. But there's something about trust that elevates me from a position of weakness. A want is a desire. True?
Yeah.
Lack is means you have a measure of something. You may have a measure of faith, but you lack great faith. Yes? You may have a measure of resources, but you lack the amount of money to buy what you want to buy. Yeah? So the Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. He lets me lie down in green pastures. Green pastures. He didn't say lets you lie down with green pastures. Lies down in green pastures. And he leads me beside still and quiet waters. This is your shepherd. This is why you can trust him. He refreshes and restores my soul. Now, this psalm is read firstly by anyone in the world. They like the comfort that this suggests. Anyone can read this. Non-believers read this. Agnostics, atheists read this. Because it's now traditional. It fits in with the traditional settings. The Lord is our shepherd. And they'll give you a nice, sexy voice. But guess what? He ain't your shepherd if you don't know him. And this doesn't mean anything if you don't know him. Because you read it and don't know him, and therefore you can't trust in him. But my trust is in this guy. That's why he's my shepherd. I don't know if he's her shepherd, his shepherd, your shepherd. I've got to know he's mine.
Yeah.
Now, if Edna tells me he's her shepherd and I see the same fruit, then we have something. He's our shepherd.
Yeah.
But right now, he's got to be mine.
Yes.
When you walk out that door on your Jack Jones, it's your own, he's got to be your shepherd. Right? He's not Pastor Tony's shepherd. He's got to be yours. So he leads me in paths. What paths? There are some paths he doesn't want us to go down. We just read that in Elisha. So not every path he's leading us on.
Yeah.
But I want to go down there. Right, you want to go down there, go down there. No, but that's not the one he wants you down. He leads me on paths. What kind of paths? Righteousness. Even though I walk through the sunless valley of the shadow of death, I fear no evil. Why? Because I put my trust in someone.
Yes.
Yeah? I fear no evil. Why? You are with me. You're with me, Lord. I can know this. I know this by the Spirit. I fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod is given to protect me. Your staff is given to guide me and to console me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. So the enemy ain't going nowhere. The enemy's still staying there, but you're in an elevated position.
Amen.
He prepares a table for me. In other words, I can feast in the midst of trouble.
Yes.
You have anointed and refreshed my head with oil. My cup overflows. Wow. And surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell forever through all my days in the house and in the presence of the Lord. That's the Amplified version. Notice the Lord never promised to avoid the valley.
No.
He never promised that you would avoid the valley. He's not trying to avoid the valley. He wants to take you through it. Why? Because there's lessons in there.
Yeah.
The Lord didn't say you would avoid evil. He says, I'll give you victory over it. I'll walk you through it. I'll walk you around it. But we cannot avoid it. It's inevitable. It's there to fulfill my purpose. The issue is, will you be succumbed by it? Or where will you put your trust and your faith? Our shepherd has a rod and he has a staff. Sometimes it's for correction. Other times, you know, you've seen those ones where he gets a hold of your neck and pulls you in. The shepherd stops the wayward sheep. Some of us sometimes need a knock on the ankles. Other times we need pulling in. He's got to give him room to do that. Got to give him. The shepherd must lead you by his own voice. The shepherd must lead you by his own voice. John 16:13 says this. But when the Spirit of truth comes, he will guide you into all truth. Has he come?
Yes.
Did the Spirit of God come?
Yes.
Right, where's he now? Some of you are not quite sure. Where is the Spirit of God? He lives inside us. In him we live and move and have our being. The Spirit of God, know what's finished the rest of this off. He will not speak of his own. He will speak only what he hears, and he will tell you. You. What is yet to come. This is why I must keep trusting him. Because he must keep speaking to me, telling me what is to come.
Yeah.
Tony, put your tin helmet on tomorrow, because tomorrow's going to be a tough day.
Yeah.
Put your shield of faith on. Put your sword. Put your, you know, your belt. And he'll tell you what armor to put on. Why? Son, this is a tough season you're going through. And I'm warning you and I'm telling you. The Father is telling you to put on your armor. He will bring glory to me by taking from what is mine and making it known to you.
Yeah.
So the Spirit of God is going to take from the Father the bread you need, and he's going to reveal it to you, trusting that you're ready to eat it.
Yeah.
If the only time you get fed is in church on a Sunday, my friend, you're in trouble. You know why? Because I am only a man. I preach a word for us to feed you and to strengthen you and to heal and restore and all the benefits that go with eating at this table. But God must speak to you through the week. So the shepherd, you must need to know his voice. The other night, I'm getting in bed, it's cold. You jump in bed, don't you? Push the covers round. Carol's got all the covers, as usual. Carol's got a double portion blessing. A double duvet blessing, I think Carol's got. And as I'm putting my head on the pillow, I kid you not, I hear the Spirit of God say to me, as clear as anything, you must know me by the Spirit. Whoa. Okay, Lord. That's all. No more. Okay, sorry, can you explain that? Hello? Hello? Can you explain that? No. But I knew it was God speaking. My response to that was, teach me your ways.
Yeah.
Teach me your ways that I may know your voice in the strangest of moments.
Yeah.
In the strangest of moments, I need to hear your voice. Just as I'm going to sleep, putting my head on the pillow, I have great confidence. Great, great, great confidence. How much confidence? Great, great confidence that God speaks to us in the middle of the night. Oh man, I know it's true. As I'm about to put my head on the pillow, God speaks and sows into our spirit. And when I wake up in the morning, there's a word ready for me. Feed on this bread today, Tone, and you won't go far wrong. Feed on this. And that's what I do. So when I put my head on that pillow, he says, you must know me by the Spirit. So what is my action going to be? I have to lean into that. Because that's an instruction. So my instruction this week has been to read more, to talk to the Lord more, Teach me your ways, Lord. I want to know by the Spirit. When I get inside this church, I want to be able to prophesy. I want to be able to know things by the Spirit. I don't want to stay on the same level. You don't want me to stay on the same level. That's why you spoke to me. We must know God by the Spirit. We must know the Spirit. The shepherd leads you. The shepherd leads you by you observing his footprints. This is what it says in 2 Corinthians 2:12. Now, when I went to Troas to preach the gospel of Christ, I found that the Lord had opened a door for me. But what? I still had no peace of mind. I still had no peace of mind because I didn't find my brother Titus. So there, I said goodbye to them and went on to Macedonia. I want to say this to you. This year, the fruit... Come in, guys. Come on. Come in. I'm wrapping up. I am now. The fruit of your trust. Sit down, it's okay. I want everyone to hear this. Here's going to be the litmus test. This year, the fruit of you trusting God will be seen in whether you've got a peace of mind. Where there's peace of mind, there is trust. God, Jesus says, peace I give to you. My peace I leave. So peace has to override natural understanding. Trust is the cradle for that. Trusting God is the cradle for the peace of mind to reside in your dwelling. When there is no peace of mind, chaos and confusion. And just like that Elisha's young servant saw, OMG moments. That's all what's coming out of your spirit. Oh my God, oh my God, oh my God, oh my God, I can't cope, I can't cope. What's going to happen? What's going to happen? Lord, open his eyes. And the peace of mind, he left them the peace of mind. And when the peace of mind comes to you, your eyes are opened. Your eyes are opened at that moment. This is the shepherd that leads us. Amen. This is the shepherd. Lastly, is the shepherd that will lead you to find green pastures. Not green pastors. Green pastures. Well, you do need a green pastor. Someone who's healthy. And why does he lead us to green pastures? Pastures. Pastures. Why does he lead us at green pastures? Because they are the places that God speaks, feeds, heals, and restores. These are the places that God wants you and I to find in him this year as we trust. There are places that you I'm thinking there's a song in my head now. I better get out of it. Get out of that song in my head. There are places that you must find in God. See, when I go to Malaysia, that's a place where God speaks. I go for my walk on most mornings. I go for a 2 or 3 mile walk. And that's where I give my head a wobble. Yeah. It's where I talk sense to myself and talk nonsense. Incense and nonsense. But it's a place where God, I can be with God and God can be with me. But God can speak to me anywhere, any place. I may not always be awake to it. So when I put my head down on the pillow of the night, I heard the voice very clearly. And that gives me a lot of confidence that he's leading me into pastures. My bed is a great pasture. It's a great place. It's safe. It's warm. It's nice. Yeah? And God can speak to me. So when I wake up in the morning, I have the word for the day. How cool is that? When you can be led by the Spirit. What's on the agenda today? Wake up in the morning. The word comes into your mind. Okay, I know what to do. How many of you believe God wants to lead you to that relationship? Amen. Yeah. I'm not anyone special. I'm not anyone special. I'm just the same as you. I'm just trying to find my way through the valley. Amen. I'm trusting him to walk through the valley. But I love it when God begins to speak to me like that. I love it when I open the scriptures. And I said to Phil the other day, when I look at my notes, not this particular set of notes, but when I look at notes and I have more scripture on than I do have notes. And why? Because as I start reading the scripture, God speaks to me from the scripture. And I need less notes because I've got the word in front of me. Yes. And that's a journey I'm on. Yeah. I haven't got a great memory. I can't remember words to songs, but I remember what God spoke, what God speaks to me. So my mind is getting sharp in some areas, but it's also getting weak in other areas. I want God to lead me. I want him to lead us. And I believe this year God says, show me as the shepherd to the people. I'm not just Lord. I'm a shepherd. I'm a king. I'm the Christ. I'm the Savior. I'm the Redeemer. I'm many things. But one thing I am is their shepherd. So I want us to stand to our feet, if we will. And I want you to get your families. Time got the best of us, and I couldn't finish what I wanted to say this morning, but that's okay. If you've got your family here this morning, just stand with your family. If you haven't got your families here this morning, get a good friend and stand with them. Can you go and get the children in? Please. And the creche. Is everybody in? All the livestock. Why don't you have a look around? There's a good crowd in this morning. All these kids. Wonderful. Fantastic. Come on, babe. Sam, stand with us. For those who don't know, this is my daughter-in-law. Or our daughter-in-law, I should say. Stand over here. Stand here, guys. Stand here. I want you to, as we stand together and dedicate ourselves to the Lord this year as our great shepherd, I'm going to read Psalm 23 in some kind of form. And I want you to confess it. Let's confess it line by line. And I want us to say the first line, O Lord my God. Now, let's just stop before we do this. I don't just want us to recite and repeat. We're not monkeys here. Or parrots, should say. Not monkeys, parrots. I don't just want us to recite. I want us to hold hands. And really, this is, we're dedicating ourselves to the Lord here. Amen? Each one has to speak for their own family. O Lord my God. I confess my love for you. For you are my rock. You're my salvation. And I place my trust in you. The rock that is higher than I. Today, O Lord, I commit my ways to you. And I confess you to be my shepherd. I ask that as I place my trust in you, you lead me through the valley, into green pastures, beside still waters. As I trust in you, you refresh my spirit, my soul, and my mind. As I trust in you, you lead me in the paths of righteousness for your name's sake. As I trust in you, you comfort me through the shadow of death, and you cause not me not to fear, but to overcome it. Lord, as I put my trust in you, you lead me with your rod and your staff, and you will lead me by your voice and by your footsteps. As I trust in you, I will know the peace of mind that goes beyond all understanding. O Lord, prepare a table for me before my enemies. O Lord, let my cup overflow until victory is found in the upright. Cause goodness and mercy to follow me through the days of my life. And may my faith and trust in you be found unwavering. Lord, hear my prayer right now. I dedicate my life, my family, my ways to you today. In Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Let's give the Lord. For in him we live and move and have our being. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
Amen. Well, stay for some food. Let's just give the guys a time, just a couple of minutes to get the table ready. But I want to bless you all. Just raise your hands. Lord, I bless your people this morning. Bless them with strength. Bless them with peace of mind. Bless them with goodness. Bless them with mercy. Bless them with trust. Bless them. Bless them, O God. May all that they touch be blessed. And may they come back to give testimony of the one who blesses, in Jesus' name. Lord, we sow this word today. And Lord, knowing that you will put us on trial at some point throughout this year. And we trust in the God who spoke this word. But we trust in, Lord, that the bread you've given us today is far greater than any bread we could ever find on earth. So Father, we trust in you. We love you. And we commend this word to the grace of God, in Jesus' mighty name. And the people of God said,
amen.
Amen. Amen.